A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here is your boy that you never wanted, Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast after an exciting Sunday night HOH and nomination edition of Big Brother. No roadkill tonight, but a lot to talk through as we got to see for the first time the endurance competition that took place after Victor came back into the house via the battle back. And so we've got a lot to talk through, and here with us to talk about it all, very special guest, one of the more polarizing guests that we have here on the show. At least, you know, this is now 5 years now since we first got to fall in love with America's sweetheart. He was your boy in Big Brother 13, and he always leaves at least a few of the viewers
pissed.
Here's Adam Pock. Adam, how are you?
Wow, what an introduction I got today. Thank you very much for having me again. To the haters out there that don't love me yet, give me a chance. If not for me, do it for Carrie Burgess, my Cabbage Patch Kid. I'm so excited that this season is featuring Cabbage Patch Kids because I'm waiting to send my Cabbage Patch Kid into the house one day to compete against
good.
Bridget.
Hopefully that for the listeners, nobody will be pissed. It will only be
friendship.
Friendship.
Oh, I'm sorry. Every time Paul says friendship, it just drives a stake through my heart. It's season six all over again with the nerd herd.
Oh. All right. Yeah. So, also here to join us and talk about it all here, filling in for Taryn tonight, it's Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Much like James, I like to go big or go home. And much like James, I should go home. And I did. So here I am.
Alex, all season long, we talked about what a great job James is doing. He's not really making any enemies. He's not pissing anybody off. Yeah, he's just going about his game, looking for his first kiss, trying to just hang out with Natalie. What a great job he's doing. And now maybe all up in smoke after this crazy decision to do everybody's dirty work this week.
Yeah, right. Not great, James. This is really just everything. It's almost like he listened to us and was like, time to mix it up.
Time to mix it up.
I need blood. To do the opposite of what these guys are talking about.
I love blood.
It's really, really what he did. I mean, this is full James from last season all over again. You know, let me go ahead and promise the world to Shelly while we're up on the wall and then break my deal. And then maybe in 2 weeks, let Vanessa, you know, it's a shame Tiffany's not there to be the one to do it. But yeah, Vanessa used this as a reason to get James out. Yeah. So here he goes, giving off reasons to people again.
All right. Well, we will talk about it all here tonight. Of course, take your questions, hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. So let's get into everything. Of course, Victor comes back in the battle back. Though we had a fun conversation the other night about that live show. Adam, did you like the battle back?
You know what? I did like it. I did like the fact that it was a semi-even playing ground with the players that were playing the HOH competitions that they were already out of the house. So it, you know, neither one of them had an advantage on each one. Sad to see Glenn go. I really felt bad for him. I mean, 37 days, and he spent two of those days in the Big Brother house, and they probably filmed that HOH, that battle back right after the HOH happened, because it would be way too much stuff to set up a knockdown between each one to do it in just like the 3 day period. So, you know, he lost like 3 weeks ago and then had to go back to that house, the luxury mansion, and, you know, think about the fact that he was not getting back in the house. But I'm glad to see Victor back. I think Victor is going to be, is that like the hook?
No, I'm just, I can't concentrate on anything you're saying holding that Cabbage Patch Kid. It's such a...
Okay.
Such a,
so you know,
keep it. We'll keep the whole show.
No, the Cabbage Patch Kid will be on camera. I'll be
on camera.
This is
like the... For the podcast people, so the, is the Cabbage Patch doll going to do a diary room confession right now? Bridget, how do you feel about being nominated tonight?
Oh my God, I could not see that coming. Oh my God, he promised me. He promised me. Frank, what should I do? Frank, can I eat now?
All right.
Yes. All right. Say goodbye to Kyrie.
All right. Adam is getting rid of his prop. Now, Adam, are you neighbors with Glenn from the Boogie Down Bronx?
I'm not neighbors. I mean, we live in the same general area, but as a lot of you know, I throw the premiere party every year, and this year we invited Glenn's fiance Kim to come to the event, and Kim and my wife had a really good talk because Kim was not so much of a Big Brother fan. My wife at the time, my girlfriend, she wasn't a big Brother fan.
Wait, hold on. Glenn's fiance, was she a fan of Big Brother until Glenn got kicked off on the first week?
She was a fan for about, 12 hours, and then it was no more. But and funny enough, I just talked to him today. He's back in the real world. As the alumni whore that I am, I reached out to Kim, and I said, hey, when Glenn gets home, tell him to give me a call just to warn him about what's going on, in the fandom of Big Brother.
What are you warning him about?
Well, there are some fans, and I'm not talking about rap fans. I'm not talking about rap fans at all. These are the good fans. But there are some fans that actually talk smack about the old players, like fans that can't let go of stuff that happened 5 years ago, fans that take it a little too far. And just to know, the 1% bad fans that tweet hate at you, is not more important than the 99% of the fans that support
Adam,
you.
Well, I'm telling you.
Yes.
We're working together. We're going to get rid of all these bad fans on Twitter.
That's it. Come on, man. We watch the show to be entertained, and it is entertaining, and that's it at the end of the day.
All right. And Glenn's in good spirits?
Very good spirits. He knows he had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he lived it. It could have been worse.
Adam, we're dying to have him on the show. We need to get Glenn on RHAP.
Well, let's see how many viewers you lose tonight. And if it's not too many, then I'll reach out to Glenn for you.
Adam, I'll tell you what. You bring the bacon. I'll bring the eggs. And we'll have breakfast together. Big Brother brunch.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, because Tiffany's now out of the house. So I'm sure you want to get – she's probably a better get than Glenn. But, hey, I know you love all the players.
You're wrong about that.
I'm from the Bronx. And we come from a school of hard knocks. And I got a hard head. I don't like to lose.
Yeah. All right.
It's like Michael Chiklis.
Not going to lose my spot to Tiffany on the podcast.
All right. So let's get back into this. This was a really great episode tonight, I thought. So – Alex, I know a lot of people were really upset that they had this 5.5 hour endurance competition. I saw a lot of people on Twitter really annoyed that they had this big competition while the feeds were down. Were you really upset that this happened? Were you
pissed?
Yeah, pissed. Yeah, kind of, to be honest with you. Like, I always, this is the one thing that, like, every spring I always say, like, BBUS has over Big Brother Canada, like, I'm happy to pay for feeds because I get no real downtime and the endurance comps, which to me, like, and especially this endurance comp, there was wheeling and dealing going on. There was all this action. It went on until the wee hours of the morning. This is like prime feeds. This was probably the best feeds we might get all season, and we didn't even get it at all. So it is frustrating. I definitely get the people who say, like, what, you can't find something to do for 24 hours. Like, it's a reasonable argument, but this was a bad 24 hours for us to get cut. It really was.
Yeah, the best feeds you never got to see. Now, Adam, you guys played in a season in Big Brother 13 where famously LaJuan ends up going out of the house because that somebody is coming back in. And that is when Brendan ends up coming back into the house. Any thoughts on what it's like for these players, the mindset of once somebody returns back into the house like Victor did?
Well, you know, if somebody comes back into the house, public enemy number one should be them. They had the chance and they blew it. and they come back in for a second chance. You got to get that person out right away. Kaser came in and went out right away. Brendan came in and went out right away. That's a smart way to do it. But then you had somebody like Judd who went out and came back in and lasted for a few weeks. Johnny Mac lasted for a few weeks. Talk about Big Brother Canada. We saw two runner-ups as people that left and came back. You target the vets. You should always be targeting the vets if you're a newbie. I know. I didn't do it on my game. Whatever. But what they should be doing is targeting the vets. But even more so, target the person that comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seemed like that was going to be the way things were going. At least that's what I thought going into this competition. But that's not how it played out. And we had this really interesting scenario, which unfolded towards the end of this competition, where you had James, Bridget, and Davon all up on the block. And Frank really played this, I thought, hyper-aggressively, where we don't really, I feel like, you know, we see a lot of people making deals in Big Brother history, the people that are in the competition sort of wheeling and dealing. But Alex, I felt like that this was pretty unusual, and I guess speaks to the Frank and Bridget dynamic, where he is really very much the deal maker of the two. She's sort of in the competition like as his proxy, but Frank is the one who's making these negotiations with Davon.
Yeah, kind of reminded me of Dan and Danielle in season 14, you know? I mean, it still is. They started on a team together, and they're not on a team together anymore, but it still is. Like, Bridget is looking to Frank as a coach, and he is trying to play for two. Unfortunately, yeah, his approach is, like you said, it's too aggressive. It's out in the open. There's a lot to not like about what he tried to accomplish here, most of all that... You know, Davon is not someone that he in the past has been able to, you know, give information to and not have it get back around. So he should have factored some of these things in first.
But I thought that this was so interesting the way that so Frank goes over to Davon and he's trying to have this conversation with her about this piece of information that he got, which was that Nicole wanted him to go out. Then you had Paul come in and try to be like the chaperone and try to very publicly break that up. I thought that that wasn't really a great look for him. Adam, what did you think about the way that Frank went about handling this business?
Well, you definitely see, you know, Frank is carrying Bridget along and he's the brains of the operation. And actually, you know what? I thought, you know, the way he presented the deal to her was actually a pretty good way of doing it. Unfortunately, they've had just way too much history, way too much negativeness towards each other. You know, if this is like 2 weeks ago, maybe if it comes out differently. And as far as Paul jumping into the conversation and cock blocking Davon, can I say that on the air? You know, I actually thought that was good because too many times somebody like, can you give us a second? They're like, no, you know, if you got something, air it out. And I think, you know what, Paul is the only person that can really do that, and because he is loud and obnoxious, so nobody like gets offended by it. But at the same time, that's smart. Hey, if you guys are making a deal, let us know the deal so we know who's lying and who's not lying, so it's not the whispering. So I think that was actually Mr. Friendship's good move this week.
Oh! Alex, so going back to what Frank would have done, we didn't really get to see what Frank was pushing for too hard from James when, you know, him and Bridget, they thought that they were safe based on Frank winning the HOH. But was Frank pushing James to put Davon up this week? Was he also going back on his word to Davon?
I mean, I think he would have hoped for that, but really he just was hoping that James is someone who wouldn't go after him. I think at this point, Frank is just thinking, you know, my back's against the wall. As long as it's not me and Bridget, I've just got to keep us safe right now. I don't think he was too concerned about who James might actually target. I think he just assumed it would be Victor too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so with Frank and what he tried to do, I thought it was a very ballsy move to really blow up Nicole's game to Davon out there, really in front of everybody, to the point where then it really just explodes, where they're calling out Nicole in front of everybody who's in that competition. That was really, really wild. Adam, how much, like, something like that where it's just so explosive, everything is happening in front of the whole house at once. How does the house react to that? Do they feel like that? Are they mad at Nicole? Are they mad at Frank? Are they mad at Davon in that spot?
They're happy because if they're not the ones involved in the drama, that puts them back and lets everybody else, let the drama people all take care of each other. So I think, like, yeah, if you're not one of the people being blown up right there, keep your mouth shut, sit down, be quiet, get the popcorn, watch from the sidelines.
Yeah. So, Alex, talk to me about Davon coming into the way that this all unfolded. Do you feel like that is Davon out of the woods, where we really thought that she could have gone home last week? Now with these nominations, do you feel like that Davon's game, and without going into the live feeds, maybe touched bottom last week and is back in the right direction?
Hard to really say. I don't think, we've seen anything to indicate that she's back fully in the good graces of, say, like, the core, group of four, like the showmances, the quote unquote showmances, I guess you'd have to say.
The other showmances. The showmance that he's in. The other
showmances. Pauly, Zakiya, Corey, Nicole four. Yeah, I think, she's certainly not, in danger right now. But once Frank's gone, she represents the polar opposite. I think, what she was trying to get Frank and Tiffany to do early on, go after each other, and then she could be the one sitting pretty after, kind of just sitting on the rubble. I think that's now what the showmance contingent is looking for from her and Frank.
Adam, because I found myself saying tonight, I can't believe Davon is still in the game.
The reasons why they flip back and forth every week is one of the things that I love most about the season, because the season has been pretty unpredictable. Thursday nights, we don't know who's going home before the show, which is the way it should be. I thought Day was all but gone. And, these people banded together. She's a vet. She had a chance already. Take a shot at her now. You saw let's keep Tiffany around to go after Frank. And that didn't work. And Frank ended up teaming up with Tiffany. So, granted, Tiffany had nobody. She should have stayed last week. Davon, she's been the one stirring the pot. They all know it. They need to get her out.
All right, well, let's talk about James in this competition. And, when Victor came back into the house, we talked a lot on Friday night about whether or not James was going to make this all-out push to get Victor out of the house. Alex, from what you've seen, do you feel like that James really wanted to win this HOH competition because, as he told us, he just wanted to, be safe for the week? Or do you feel like that in the back of his mind, the reason why he went all out was because Victor was back and he wanted to target Victor, and then ultimately the house forced him to go in a different direction?
Honestly, I think it's neither. I think James has this idea in his head that he has a reputation as an endurance comp champion, that this is something that he thrives at, and that this is his time to shine. You know what I mean? And not only that, but he wants to impress Natalie, and he wants to, be the big man on campus for a week. And yeah, there's safety, and he can protect Natalie, and she promised him a kiss. And I don't think he really thought it much further ahead than that, because we saw that he did have the perception enough to recognize, once he really gave it some thought, oh man, I've put myself in the exact same spot I was in last season. This isn't going to be good. And you read his body language when he's in that bumper car. He really slouched over, and you could tell he's unhappy with his situation once he properly gauged it. The problem was, he should have gauged it during the 6 hours he had his arm raised in the air, and at some point during that time said, oh yeah, I don't want this at all, because that's the correct play.
In either scenario, Bridget winning HOH or Davon winning HOH, were James or Natalie going to be on the block this week?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Especially with the Bridget side, you wouldn't think that she would be putting up Natalie at all. Davon is more unpredictable. Probably would be going for Frank and Davon, or Frank and Bridget, you would imagine. So really, almost nothing to gain here for James other than a kiss.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people don't realize if they're defending this move. Like, a lot of people defending it have been saying, well, what else should he do? Really, the correct move is lose. And he had an ample opportunity to lose. It's not like this was a true false that he tried to throw. All you have to do is put down your arm, son. Come on.
Adam, what's your take on James winning this HOH? Is it as bad as we're making it out to be?
Yes and no. The only good thing to come out of this for him is the fact that he is putting up who a majority of the house wants out. And he's getting blood on his hands, but nobody's going to be upset at him. Nobody's going to come after him next week except for who, not even whoever stays. If Frank or Bridget stays, they're not going to go after him. So he got the kiss from the girl. He gets the big room for a week. He wins another endurance competition. And you know what? He makes great moves without knowing it. That's the problem. Like, you know, going after Shelly and Clay last year, that had to be done. Somebody had to do it. Going after Frank and Bridget this year, somebody has to do it. He's not afraid of making big moves. He just doesn't. I don't think he realizes I'm making a big move. This is going to be good for my game.
But do you have to make a big move at this point in the game? I mean, couldn't you say that that was the beginning of the end for James in Big Brother 17 when he decided to go after Clelly?
It really was, because that was the side that was in power, because you had Vanessa, you had the twins, you had Austin, they were all siding with them. So he was going after the majority when he was in the minority. Now he's going after the minority and the majority, so he's covering his back. And again, no matter who stays, they're not going to go after him next week. If Bridget or Frank stay, they're still going to be gunning after Mama Day.
Alex, to me, it just really, I think, hurts James a lot in the long term. Even if Frank gets out of the house, it's like, okay, well, now we're starting to look at James as, okay, he is a comp beast that we need to worry about in these competitions. Plus, he's part of a very strong showmance with him and Natalie. I mean, kissing in front of the whole house. It used to be people would hide when they were a showmance to try to sneak kisses in the middle of the night before Captain Kosher caught them. But no, that's not what's going on here with James. Yeah. And then also he broke his word and everybody knows it.
Yeah. And he's pretty happy about it. Well, I mean, he's not like happy with it, but he's certainly not shying away from it. Like he's referencing to people who aren't really aware of his past. He's talking about how he did the same thing last season. So it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's not. It seems to be a fundamental misstep. You know, last season, the problem is that it was a big move, but it wasn't a great move for him. It actually ended up being pretty good for Vanessa because she's able to really solidify her true alliance with Austin and the twins and Steve. And James is really kind of just taking a shot at the periphery there. This season, the problem is that by taking out the house's target, the house is going to now need a new target, and he's not in the core of the core alliance. So if he gets rid of Frank, people are now going to look around and, you know, assuming they decide that Bridget is, you know, someone that they can pull in, which is certainly possible. She's been moldable in the past. You know, now James stands out as someone who can win competitions in a way he didn't before.
Yeah, Adam, could you make the case for what is the upside of, you know, in the 5.5 hours that James is standing there? I mean, what is going through his head that's making him say, oh, this is a good move for me to win this, other than using the word Natalie to describe this?
Well, let me start by saying last year, I think putting up Clelly was a good move. Saving Vanessa was a bad move, and that was a really bad move. And that is ultimately why he left the game. This is winning this HOH. I said it before. The majority of the house wants Frank or Bridget out, including some little girl that he has a crush on. So I don't think this is a bad move for him. I think he's doing what everybody wants him to do, keeping him safe. And he's still at the bottom of the showman's list. And, you know, people are still going to go after Paul, Zakiya, Corey, Nicole, before they go after Nat and James, because Nat's not really a threat. She's likable, you know, and the other ones are, you know, I feel like they're stronger all around players, whereas Natalie's just a, you know, pretty face.
You know,
and I said her name. Damn.
Okay, that's fine. Alex, but it's one thing to win the HOH, and then he's like doing Paul and Paulie's dirty work. I mean, he's sitting down and Paul is like, okay, James, this is how it's going to go, okay? And he's going to tell him, like, just this is what the nominations are going to be. And he's like, okay. And then Paulie is telling him, okay, it doesn't matter what your word is. Like, we got you back, bro. Don't worry. If later on down the road, if anybody tries to mess with you, they're going to have to get through me first. And my brother Cody.
Yeah, really aggressive. And very little pushback. You know, he really just kind of rolled over for it. And another thing that I think is important to note, last year with the wall competition, Shelly made him promise. Shelley went way out of her way to insist that she get promises from James. And, you know, we didn't have feeds this time, so we don't know for sure. But it seemed like Bridget didn't do that, that James just offered up the guarantee that people, and like, that's just not, he's recognizing now that he got blood on his hands. It was entirely of his own design. Like, nobody made him give his word here. He offered it up, and now he realizes he shouldn't have done that. So I think that's really the problem, is that you really don't want to have to give your word in the Big Brother house unless you need to. And he just felt like he was in a position where he could just do it, but he shouldn't have.
Yeah. Adam, I want to talk through this conversation that James has with Frank about the nominations. And Frank is certainly worried. And he's like, you know, you're not going to put me up on the block. And James is like, why would I do that? What? That's crazy. So, I mean, if he's going to ultimately put Frank up on the block, did he handle that correctly, or do you want to start to at least like not have it be where you're lying? I'm like, I was sort of two minds of it, of is that bad to just have it be a total blindside, or do you, is it worse to sort of like lead Frank on that you were going to do it and then he goes and blows up your game to other people?
Well, I mean, there has to be game that James has to be blown up to other people, which there is none. There really is no big game. I think, you know, James knew he was going to put him up. It's deny, deny, deny. That's the name of the game. Deny, deny, deny. Afterwards, because if he said beforehand, Frank would have started something before the nominations. Instead, Frank was on the block. He's like, oh, again, I'm getting lied to. Oh, well, now it's time to go back to work. If he told him beforehand, I think, I don't think Frank would have taken it as well. Frank would have, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? So James was saving himself listening to more Frank by just guessing him to death.
Alex, you've seen these conversations play out, you know, hundreds of times, maybe at this point. How do you think is the right way to approach that? When Frank is asking James, like, you're not putting me up on the block this week, right? And James is like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you have to do is, you know, it's dependent on the person. Someone like James, it's tough because your fundamental understanding of James is he's kind of this old reliable type, and that he should be someone who's worried about
that's not
his
what AJ
impression.
Asked for me.
But, well, I know, certainly not this season. And now he's kind of gone back on that. I do think he cares about his word in the game. Certainly it weighed on him. I wouldn't necessarily say that guilt is the approach, but you definitely don't approach him with logic either. It's got to be an emotional pull of some kind if you're going to sway him here. Something that, you know, the thing that really affected James earlier this season on feeds that we talked about was when, you know, somebody said something that, you know, brought his daughter into an equation. Like, that's something that really affects him. When Jose made a comment about the military, like, that really bothers him. So emotional appeals are what's going to be effective with James. I think what you need to do is find a way to, you know, really convince him that either someone is after him or someone is after Natalie. Maybe that really, you know, plays better. Or more so than that, that you are loyal to the end. How you would convince him of that when he doesn't trust your word is going to be difficult, though.
All right, I want to go back and to explore Victor coming back into the house, because I could not have predicted such a cushy landing for Victor getting back into the house. And I doubly could not have predicted how the whole rest of the house was going to be totally okay with Paul just saying to everybody, everybody, it's cool. He's my friend. I'll be the buffer. I'll talk to him. You have nothing to worry about. It is total friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah, it is friendship. Ah! Don't worry about him. Just do not even think about Victor. I got him. I got him. And you don't even have to talk to him. I'll go talk to him. Alex, what is everybody thinking?
It's crazy how that whole thing has turned around, right? I mean, Paul was on the outs. You know, from a TV show perspective, what happened, really? You know what I mean? It really is just, you know, I talked about it a little bit on Twitter today, and I feel like it's the situation where He's basically the weasel at Jabba's palace, the one that's always laughing.
It's Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb, right. So it's like you find the biggest, baddest dude around, and you just make that guy laugh once every day, and, you know, you're like, you're golden. You're like part of the entourage now. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what Paul has done.
That my brother Cody and I, we love that show and movie. We watch it every day on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. And I hear Cody's got a movie coming out as well.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes. Hey. Yes. Hey.
You've been eliminated.
Yeah. Okay. Adam. So, what can you believe how cushy of a spot it's been for Victor and how nobody seems to care that Paul is just taking him under his wing?
It's funny because Paul was staying loyal to Victor, even though he was working against Victor before. And Paul, his game transitioned so much because, yeah, those first couple of weeks, he was with those guys that we were all, that the rest of the house was going after. And then he was the one that survived because he figured out how to kiss ass very well. So, I don't understand how, like, not only have they welcomed him in, but now they're like almost letting him lead the charge, lead the gang. Paul E got the haircut to match Paul, which I don't get why anybody would want to do their hair like that. Then again, when you're dealing with this, any hair is good hair. But, I mean, it's pretty weird how he's like running that group. And you know what? They're kind of letting him. And I don't know if it's going to set him up later on because he is pulling a pretty good, Andy Baby 15 by getting into every room. He's in every conversation. If somebody's talking, he just jumps right in. He gets the information. And he's very selective on what information he's given back. So, but it's so weird. How is he now running the crew? How is he like the leader of the pack?
Alex, is Paulie just building the BB-18 version of the bomb squad or the detonators, if not the bomb squad, where we are going to have really just bro down here, where instead of Derek, Cody, Beast Mode Cowboy, Zach, and Frankie Grande, we're going to build this, we're going to get Paulie, Corey, Paul, Victor, and I don't know, take your pick, James or something like that?
Certainly not outside the realm of possibility. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think we'd have to get through a little bit of Frank membrane and possibly, you know, Bridget Avon first. But at that point, could it turn into a battle of the sexes? I don't know. It could be very interesting. Could it happen sooner because people are getting sick of each other? Also possible. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Let's talk about Nicole and what went on with her in this episode. And obviously, she has that conversation with Frank that Frank outs to Davon, who Davon gets really pissed during all of that. And
pissed!
she was really upset about everything. And then it gets outed in front of everybody. And Nicole.
I am so mad and honestly embarrassed.
Yes, she's very upset about everything. Adam, how do you think that Nicole has handled herself here in BB-18?
Oh, you know, this is such a fun season. There's boys that are cute here. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Sorry, I was actually getting a little bit into Liz. I mean, she's been the swing the entire time. It's like because her and Cody are one, you know, two votes, but one brain set. So it's, I don't know. And plus, you know, Nicole said it. Like, Nicole knows Nicole said it to Frank. Nicole knows that Davon said it. Davon knows that she said it to Nicole. And so Nicole being like, well, again, deny. That's a smart move. But when she started Davon, she should have said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I was just trying to, like, get under his skin. Like, she should have thought of something to cover her ass. By her, like, foo-fooing it, she knows she's guilty. She's got no way of, like, you know, supporting herself. But I want to go back to something real quick that you didn't go back to me when I raised my hand. I think when Frank and James were having that conversation in the safari room, Frank should have been making a pitch. This is who to go after. This, like, Frank's like, just don't put me up. He's like, oh, I'm not going to put you up. Oh, okay, cool. You're not going to put me as a pawn now.
Yeah. He should have. And maybe he did. We didn't have the feeds during that point, but it's possible.
True.
Yeah. Alex, just going back to then Nicole and talking with Corey about after that whole incident that happened. My favorite Nicole quote of the night was that she said to Corey about Frank.
I'm not talking to Fricker.
I'm not going to talk to that Fricker anymore. He's a real mother Fricker, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I feel like I'm watching Public Access sometimes with this girl, Rob.
Fricker? Yeah.
It's unfortunate because there are some times where Nicole exhibits some good gameplay, but it's just a lot of it is predicated on just utter fear and paranoia, and there's a lot of insecurity here. You know, I've thought about it. She did like just break up with Hayden right before the season, and part of me does wonder if really that wasn't like not cool to have her back this soon. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she's
cool
really
on her part on Big Brother's part.
To think, like, I don't know if she's really emotionally hold on, well, in the
what
place
is Big
she needs
Brother's
to be to play
to
this
do?
Game.
Like, hold on. Well, we Nicole, we'd like to
ask
have you back,
else.
But you know, we're gonna like, you know, it's too soon. It's too soon that
I mean,
you're still healing from your breakup.
She did psychological screening, but she just. It's hard for me to listen to a lot of it because there's a lot of insecurity.
That's on her. I mean, Big Brother bears no responsibility to that. If she says, okay, I can't do it, I just got out of a relationship, that's fine. But Big Brother, that is not, of the many things that they could be culpable for, I don't think that, you know, they should not be able to reach out to Nicole because she's coming off of a breakup.
Yeah, maybe it's just me, Rob. Maybe I just think they track these people the way S.H.I.E.L.D. tracks, mutants. You know what I mean? Maybe I just expect Big Brother to know, you know, to have like tracking chips in all these people and know exactly what's going on at all times.
They do. They've got one, right? I'm not making that up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, right. They do. I tried to get it out. I cut myself so many times. It's in there. For life.
Yeah. I do always like to point out on these shows where somebody gets accused of something and Nicole's just like, oh, that makes me so mad. I'm so mad about that. But it's not like she's not standing up like, hold on. That is a out and out lie. I absolutely unequivocally did not say that. She's just like, oh, that's really pissing me off. you're a real Fricker.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, it's a very passive side. You know, she is no Amanda Zuckerman. No one is accusing her of being ever. You know what I mean? She is not the person that's going to take the fight to someone who is rumored to be talking about her. She's not going to be the one to clear the air. In fact, she's the kind of player who is uber averse to someone who will clear the air. And that's why I think what Paul did isn't necessarily the greatest play long term. Short term, yes, it actually was kind of good for the group that he's exposing everybody. But long term, the more you see behavior like that, the more you wonder, oh, I hope he doesn't blow up my spot next. You know what I mean? So I think that's something to be wary of. You don't want to be that guy too many times.
Okay. All right. We also have this hidden room that's in play. Nobody found anything about that in the episode, but that's still something that we're just keeping an eye on as we're moving forward. Adam, any thoughts on the hidden room or twist?
The coup de Jeff, the let's see who we can save, the let's push the button and reset the week. Let's see what it is. Now, you know what, though? Honestly, like, all kidding aside, I think this season has been so amazing. The twists have actually been working.
Amazing. That's high praise.
No, listen, Big Brother 15, they tried to do the third nominee with the MVP. That, I don't think, worked. The roadkill, in my opinion, worked. The last two seasons, Battle of the Block with the, you know, the threat of an HOH ended up going home that week. Only happened, what, once in two seasons? That flopped. I think this season, the teams was better than Big Brother 14. I think they're hitting on all cylinders this season. So I'm really curious to see what game-changing event is in that box. So I'm excited. I'm excited because I think that they have been keeping us on our toes this year. It's been not a predictable season at all.
Okay, I want to circle back to that when we get to talking about the live feeds to discuss that a bit more in detail. But let's go ahead and get into the questions first, and then we will do our live feed segment and talk about everything going on over the weekend. R. Vandervest says, is Bridget considered a floater, a coaster, a goat, or something else? She has proven her competence.
The greatest player ever! She's the greatest player ever!
Sorry, that was the Cabbage Patch Kid jumping in.
Carrie Burgess. He has a name. Carrie Burgess.
Yes, Carrie. That's a boy Cabbage Patch Kid.
My mother got him for me when I was like 10 years old because she thought it looked like me with the red hair and the freckles.
And wasn't it Carrie Burgess?
Carrie Burgess, yes. And I've passed Carrie Burgess on to Natalie. Thank God she's not home because I stole it out of her room. I got to put it back unharmed.
Yes. And Natalie, of course, is your young daughter, not Natalie from Big Brother 18.
Right.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yes. Natalie, my daughter, it was so funny tonight on the episode, they called her Little Nat Nat. And that's my nickname for my Natalie too. Little Nat Nat. I was like, oh my God, my daughter's on TV.
All right.
Go Bridget, team Bridget. Yeah.
Alex, is Bridget a floater? Cause she's done well in the competitions.
Always comes back to depending on your definition. She's won a competition. She's clearly aligned with Frank. So I would say probably by both definitions, no, she's really not. You know, people say that because she's diminutive and weak and very passive. And certainly that's all true. I mean, theoretically, I mean, she's
not
weak.
Spend too much time on this. Let's keep going.
The competition, but no, okay. No, she's not.
Then let's get back into some more questions. Hashtag RHAP, also YouTube channel, robinswebsite.com/YouTube. Atrocious Princess says, what was the purpose of all those ball pits in the HOH competition? Were people who got eliminated supposed to throw balls at the others? They didn't explain how that twerks. Very well done. Alex, do you have any thoughts on what was the point of the ball pit?
No, not at all. I saw it last, you know, during the battle back and thought maybe it'd be something.
Okay. Adam, any thoughts on that?
I think it was just another cool design, cool decoration, different challenge. You know, it's not the same challenge set designs that we've had the last few years. So, you know, I applaud that.
I did like Paul using it as a Serta mattress. That was cool.
That was funny. Alex, is it possible? I know they did the veto competition over the weekend. Could they have used that same set for the veto competition?
Seems lazy. Yes, it's possible.
I just feel like that there's been times before where they've done, like, I'm not sure if maybe the production schedule got pushed back too far because of the way that the battle back took place, where you assume that that was middle of the night, Thursday into Friday. They didn't finish that until Friday morning. And I know they did the veto on Saturday, so maybe...
The veto was done very late on Saturday, though, so it did give it a lot of time.
Okay.
But then they've also got a secret room to build. So yeah, you know, contractors really being put into overtime on this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see if
CBS has the money.
We'll see if the veto is also a rave theme this week. Okay, SheMan32 says, "Will anyone catch on to Paulie's game? Seems to be with everyone and has an in with every faction of the house." Adam, you live in Jersey now, so what is your thought on your neighbor, Paulie?
You know what? I thought Paulie came in week one with a great strategy, great idea, and
my brother Cody.
He was playing it well. Winning that first HOH, that was good. Winning the second HOH, not so good. I think that's people are going to start looking at him. You know, again, once the Frank Devon.
Wait, hold on. Are you saying when you win the first HOH, that's good, but when you win the second HOH, that's bad?
If you win those two so close together, yeah. When you win two.
Oh, okay. I got it. So the second HOH of his second, I think you're talking about the weeks. Got it.
I'm sorry. Yes. His second HOH I thought was bad because now he's starting to pile up the resume a little too early in the game. So people are going to start. When numbers start dwindling down, they're going to look at who can't I beat, who's got a good case for the jury. The fact, too, that he is so outspoken, that he is so overbearing, that, you know, we had the dictator in Frank a couple weeks ago. Paulie is, you know, I wouldn't call him a dictator, more like a godfather type of figure. You know, like when he was HOH, there was one scene on the feeds where you had Corey sitting on one side of him, you had Paul sitting on the other side of him, and he was like just sitting there listening. You know, hands for us. So it was complete, you know, Godfather-esque.
Adam, do you have any siblings that potentially we might see on Big Brother in the future?
You know what? I do have an older brother. And I'll tell you what, if he ever got cast on Big Brother, that would be some excitement. To say my brother is eccentric is an understatement. Oh, I actually get a call from Casey, Big Brother 11 right wow. there. But no, I do have a name drop. I do have an older brother who would make great
That's
TV.
That's a name drop?
He would make great TV. Oh, look at that. Jordan from Canada just called me.
Jordan Barhart?
That has been whatever. You know, he's holding on to his 15 minutes of fame a little too long.
All right, so,
sorry,
so you
rappers.
Have...
I'm joking. No, but I do have a sibling. Probably never see them on Big Brother.
Bread for this.
Yeah. Is there a possibility that we will see your brother in Sequester season 4?
You know what? He has become a bigger Big Brother fan since I've been on the show. So I think that's if he can't get on the real show, maybe he'll try out for Sequester.
Okay, let's do one last question, then we'll get to all of the live feeds. Haiku Fishback, was this the best endurance comp since the great Ollie made that ridiculous deal with Dan and BB10? Alex, what's your take on this?
No, I would say James last year.
Wow, that was the best since James last year?
I mean, it's the same. It's just, it's not anything different. There really wasn't even incentive to do it. It's just kind of painful. Like, I watched it and I just went, oh, James, you know, it's not something I was jumping up and down for.
You know, I actually loved it. And I'm like you, Alex, I was so mad that it wasn't on the feeds, because that's the type of endurance comp we want to see on the feeds. That's, you know, Dick and Zach on the rabbit for all night long. You had
throwing phones around.
The hot button season 6. You know, when it's
different Zach.
The 23 hours. I mean, that's the type of challenges as fans we want to see. We want to see those live on the feeds. So I think, you know what? I think this was a great HOH, because I'm jealous that I didn't get to see it live.
Okay. Let's get into talking about the live feeds. Of course, Big Brother Happy Hour coming up on Monday. And then, of course, we'll be live again on Wednesday night and Thursday night following Big Brother this week. But until then, we are getting into the spoiler section of the podcast. So here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is...
Where's the Cabbage Patch Kid?
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual...
Spoiler.
...against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
All right.
My props tonight, a Darth Vader sneaker and a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Wait, what's a Darth... What do you have a Darth Vader sneaker for?
Because I love Star Wars, Darth Vader.
Oh, you wear Darth Vader sneakers?
Yes, I wear Vans. I wear shoes like a 12-year-old. I have dolls. I don't know what the hell. My wife is out of town. I don't know what's going on. I'm just sitting here.
I didn't catch that at first, but I did wonder why you held up your shoe when I mentioned Salacious Crumb.
Thank you for remembering the name.
All right, so we got spoilers from over the weekend. We had our veto competition. Otev was back. And Alex, what is the latest at this hour after a eventful Saturday night in the Big Brother house?
Well, you called it a few minutes ago, Rob. The Otev was indeed rave themed. And your winner of the big dance, Big Meech.
Yes, or Jim, or Paul gave her a new nickname tonight. What do you think of?
Oh, James and the Giant Meech.
Yeah,
the Giant Meech. Now, no more Big Meech. Giant Meech.
Well, actually, Rob, now that she's won a single veto, she prefers Beast Mode Meech.
Oh.
Beast Mode Meech.
All right.
So she has won the veto. And is it going to her head at all, Alex?
This is Sparta!
There may have been a giant circle interpretive dance situation in the storage room to celebrate her victory, involving no less than 5 girls.
Yeah, so she did it. She beat Frank in the veto competition. And so... it is not looking good for the Frank and Bridget cause unless Big Meech or the Giant Meech decides to use the veto here. And so, Alex, how's that looking?
Not good. Not good at all. She hates Bridget.
Why? Why do you hate Bridget? Why?
Yeah.
It still goes back to that joke about the eyebrows that Zakiya told her wasn't a joke.
We talked about this scenario all season long where Mish hates Bridget, wants to see her go out. But I feel like that gives a glimmer of hope to Frank, doesn't it? That if Frank is going to be the presumptive person going home on Thursday, if Mish was to take Frank off the block, potentially couldn't somebody else go up that maybe would stay and Bridget would go home?
Well, the problem there is that Mish doesn't trust or really believe anything Frank has to offer right now. I think she's more content to let Frank go if that's what the whole group wants than she would be to try to make a wave on her own to ensure that Bridget goes. She doesn't like Bridget. Let's get that clear. She hates her some Bridget.
No friendship there.
She, I don't think, is willing to do what other players have done and let the tunnel vision get so severe that she'll burn all her capital in the game with other people to ensure that that's the one person who goes this week.
Okay, so she will not burn them all to go after
Bridget. Fire and blood!
Yeah, okay, so now, and let's tie all these threads together. Okay, so we have that going on. Then we also have the search for the hidden room, which is continuing. Alex, any updates on that?
Such as it is. Yeah, pretty much the only update I've seen on that is Frank jiggling some luggage every now and again. Like, it doesn't really seem like anyone's making too many moves on that. Although Reddit and others seem to have pretty easily figured out what needs to happen. It's just, will anyone realize it? Will Frank maybe have a thought coming out of the DR? I wonder if I go upstairs and dial #221 on the phone, I wonder what happens then. And
okay.
Yeah, you know, there should be a Paris bedroom, maybe, or some kind of Paris room upstairs, we think, Rob. They've certainly been hearing a lot of banging coming from up there, so
whoa.
Something's being built.
Whoa.
James and Natalie are sealing the deal already. Wow.
Easy.
They're up there too, but yeah. Well, yeah.
All right. So this is where we want to tie this all together. Okay. So Adam, so back in BB13, of course,
exactly where you're going with this.
You know, that there are many conspiracy theories that are abound from that season of potentially thing, you know, twists that came up at certain times in the game. Over the weekend, Big Brother executive producer was on Twitter, Allison Grodner, and favorited a tweet which came from a woman named Sarah A.B. Asquez on Twitter. She tweeted, "I truly don't understand people who support Michelle and hate Frank." And
scandal.
This tweet was favorited by Allison Grodner,
and
Twitter and Reddit are a buzz that could this be signaling possibly.
Okay. To tell you how big of a Big Brother nerd I am, I already knew about that. I saw that on my own. I went and looked at this woman's followers and who she's following. I looked at Allison Grodner's followers. I looked at all the tweets that she favorited, liked, whatever you want to call it. It was very odd out of left field, out of all the Big Brother tweets and all Big Brother Twitter, that was the one that Allison liked first foremost. And I mean, you know what? It's a show for TV, for people to watch, for the network to make money. It's going to happen the way that the show happens. Who am I to say how heavy the finger on the button is, but
someone who was there.
That was very interesting. It was very interesting to see that, and how it will play out, who knows. I do think that they will get some sort of clue at some point about that, because I mean, at this point, it's so far into the game that people might have already tried that, like the first week, like go up there, like push all the buttons on all the, and nothing happened. So unless they're prompted to do it again, it'll kind of be like, you know, Shelly sitting in the purple room talking to the fortune teller, hoping for her magical power. And that never happened, but because she wasn't told to ask for a magical power. So I'm sure the paranoia will start once house guests come into the living room. There's a secret in the house. You must figure out the code. Then people will start looking for it.
All right. Is that how Pandora's box works? It's like Jiminy Cricket. If you just wish for it hard enough, it just appears.
Pandora's box is you're told to go to the HOH room, and you walk into the HOH room, and you look surprised. Then Tori Spelling comes out, and everybody's happy.
Everybody's thrilled. Alex,
yes, they were.
So to go back to the BB14 of it all. There was another time where Frank was on the block, scheduled to go home for an eviction, and something else happened where the reset button showed up. Did they call it the reset button? What did they call it? They called it the reset button. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, so there's a little bit of a history of Frank being saved by divine intervention. So with all of these swirling winds on the map, do you think that Frank ends up going home on Thursday?
Well, now that hashtag Grodner exposed party is trending, I think it's going to be tough for that to
happen.
Is that
what they're calling that? That's not really great.
That really was a thing. it's going to be tough for it. It depends on how it happens, I guess. No, I don't
and
think
that And for the record, let me just say right now, I am not against this. That if Frank wins a power and stays in the house this week, what would happen? Would it be a coup d'etat where it would be like the coup de Jeff where then Frank would pick out two people to sit on the block? If that was the case, that might not be as great, but I'm totally cool with Frank staying in the house another week.
Yeah. I mean, hard to know, but I agree that if Frank goes between Frank and Tiffany, there is a sudden dearth of strategy, I think, in this season where two of the few people that really kind of understood what was going on here are going to be gone, and you're kind of going to be left with, certainly there's slim pickings already in terms of really strong strategic minds here, but you're really going to be scraping the barrel at a point.
Yeah. Let me remind you, though, last season they tried to do during the who's ready for a takeover, the last laugh, to get Devon the ability to cut a couple votes, and it didn't work for her. So who knows what this secret reward is, and if it is meant to try to save Frank, if it'll actually end up saving Frank. Because last year, hey, Devon got it. They tried to save her because CBS seems to love her. That's why they brought her back. That's why they brought her down on The Price is Right. So, I think if it was like a Diamond Power of Vito or coup d'etat and they get to pick the replacements, if he puts up Devon, then it's bad either way. Because, right now it's the Frank versus Devon show. And for either one of them to go home would be kind of disappointing for the rest of us.
Well, Alex, hypothetically, let's say it is the coup de Jeff. And now Frank gets to go into the diary room or pick out the two nominees to sit on the chair. Who's Frank picking out here? It's Devon and who?
Oh, man. Maybe Nicole at this point, honestly.
Ooh. Okay. Boy. That's interesting.
I am so mad.
Yeah, she'll be really mad about that.
Yeah, she would not be happy about going on the block. We know that's not something that makes her... She cries.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see. Let's go back to some questions. Anything else that you want to update us on as well?
Couple stupid fights last night. Like, there hasn't been a lot of feeds since they were down. A couple really just dumb arguments. Paul, again, last night, he's like, I'm going to call out Frank. And I think he thinks everyone really loves it. And they kind of do. But again, like I said, you can't be like the boy who cries pissed. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that too many times before you just look like an ass. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is like, he came
getting
at Frank
too ballsy that I'm a Paul fan, but he's just like, his ego is getting too big in the house.
Yeah. He's at his absolute best when he's just the parrot on Paulie's shoulder, because that really is how he's turned it around in this game. It's just being Paulie's sycophant and his yes man. And if he starts being his own man, all of a sudden, people have to worry about what he's going to do next.
And how's Victor doing on the reentry?
Good. He's actually, well, that's the thing. It's like, Paul had enough time to learn what didn't work, and now he's told it to Victor, and Victor isn't playing as what was the line Paul used? You can't alpha bro it or something like that. You know, like he's not doing that this time. He's settling down and just kind of sitting there and talking to people. And that's what this game actually is. Like when you run around and, look like a physical specimen.
I need to jump in. Jennifer Pollock, I'm very sorry that the wall behind me is the same color as my head. And it probably just looks like eyes and mouth flashing. I'm really sorry. We just painted the room. We haven't put any artwork on the walls yet. It'll be better next time I'm on the show if Rob has me back, depending on how many viewers I lose.
Are you responding to tweets right now?
Yes.
It plays fine on iTunes. Yes. I'm okay. Sure of it.
All right.
Yes, I am. I'm engaging your fans. I'm trying to win over that one fan.
It's weird in the middle of a... We're talking about something else. You're just like talking to random people on Twitter.
Well, because Heavy Metal Teddy's head is the same color as the wall behind him, and it's a little distracting. Hashtag rap. So, I want to interact with the fans because obviously none of the fans have any questions for me. It's like, hey, I got another question about something other than Adam.
To be fair, usually the head, the same color as the wall, is my shtick. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But you have headphones that break it up. Yeah. Okay. Put that. It's also the same color as the Cabbage Patch Kid. All right. A couple more questions. This is from Can Skate Fan. Last night, Davon revealed to Big Meech that the two of them were in the three-way alliance with James. This is the first that Big Meech has heard of this. Is this strategy of Davon's to concoct alliances and just tell people after the fact? Or does she just have visions? Alex, can you speak to this?
I think Davon is feeling a bit of what's actually going on, but she doesn't have enough information to know that she's right. So it is weird. She is being iced out of important conversations now. She's being included in lots of girl talk and any conversation that has to do with Frank and Bridget. But there are discussions going on that don't pertain to just that between, Michelle, Nicole, and Zakiya, the girls that used to be her girls that are now kind of, distancing themselves a bit. And Davon, we've always given her credit for being perceptive. The problem is that she's too quick to act on those, those reads, and she doesn't formulate a game plan first. So she is beginning to pick up on what's really there. And I think, it's important for her to do so now because she's in danger. It really would behoove her, I think, to work with Frank potentially. The problem is she really does have tunnel vision. Will she see it is kind of the question in these next few days. She's beginning to, I think. But I'm not sure.
Adam, we didn't get your take on Michelle. Are you liking what Michelle is doing, that she's the vet who is working with a lot of, or the newbie who's working with a lot of the vets here along the way? That certainly a role you can relate to.
Time out. Remember, week one, I went against them. They made me an offer and I went against them week one. And then when I realized, oh shit, the house is... I have no control over anything.
Talia!
Become a sheep and follow the herd. But I think, though, she did a great job early by blending in with them, using them for protection. She did not stand out. And the fact that she is a little bit catty, but she was catty with the other girls that are being catty. I really respect Bridget, though, for stepping up and saying something to her about it, about how she feels like she's being bullied. And Michelle was like, me? I don't know what you're talking about, bitch. I don't like the fact that she was so comfortable those first few weeks and now is starting to get to her head a little bit. And I think by winning this veto also, holding that power, controlling it, I don't think she's going to do anything with it. But it's definitely inflating her ego a little bit. And I wanted to actually, we talked about her before, but remind Shelly on season 13, she did a pretty good job of that. She was with the vets early on in the game, aka week one. She never won anything, but she her ego started getting better of her, and she lost sight of the actual game because she was so focused on making a move. And I think Michelle knows right now not to make the big move, but I could see her making a big move that ends up blowing up in her face, blinded by her ego and, fueled by anger instead of, thinking it through.
Okay. Important to note that Paulie was talking last night about how he didn't like the degree of celebration that was going on. And Paulie has a lot of clout in this house. So anything Paulie says, I think, should take a special note.
By the way, Jennifer Pollock liked the shout out before, and sorry for interrupting the show with it.
Let's take another question. LB Doc, Paul comes out looking really pushy. Will that backfire? Alex, is this the thing that's going to backfire on Paulie?
On Paulie or Paul?
I thought they said Paulie. Paul comes out. Sorry. They look alike. They have the same name. Who can tell the difference?
And they both approach James with the same pitch. Yeah, I mean, it really is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, Paul Lee has done kind of the Nick Starcevic from BB-8, right? He's got like a serious cocky attitude. He's got a mohawk now, and he's in the showmance. He really is like the bad boy now. But yeah, with Paul, again, like I said, it's the boy who cried pissed. Like, you can't overdo it. I mean, even Dave Vaughn was talking a little bit about how he's, you know, in a DR where she's talking about the competition and how he won't shut up. Like, that personality, you could see how everyone liked him for a while. Everyone was laughing when he's, you know, standing up and making his pawn speeches. You're better off just staying the course, you know, as soon as he starts trying to step up and be a player here is when he's getting himself in trouble.
Yeah. Adam, how insufferable will Paul be when he gets out of the house?
Well, you know what? I mentioned this the other day to somebody else, and I'm bringing it up here because I think it is kind of funny. I went on Big Brother and I talked about bacon all the time, and I've gotten some bacon endorsements. I don't know if Paul is going for like friendship cottage cheese marketing. He wants to do anything with them, which is why he's overusing the word friendship. I have no idea.
But friendship is a brand of cottage cheese.
Okay. So I just lost everybody there.
Tell me about these bacon endorsements that you're doing.
If you follow me on Twitter at Heavy Metal Teddy, you'll see, I judge a lot of bacon events around the country, a lot here in New York, and I've gotten involved as I'm the head judge of the New York Best Wings Festival, all because...
is that Wings Festival at the Jersey Shore?
Oh. It smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all-you-can-eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
As somebody that's been in all-you-can-eat wing competition before, I can agree with that statement. That's what, I didn't win $500,000, but the fact that I kept talking about bacon all summer has been very profitable to me in other ways. So,
is that what Paulie is going for? Endorsement?
He's like cottage cheese, friendship cottage cheese. Look it up. Google that. I really hope Paul, because I think Paul got it early on, but what we were saying before about Michelle, how she was cocky early on, but like she was quiet early on getting cocky. I think people are annoyed by Paul, but they're not telling him they're annoyed. So he thinks that they enjoy it. So he's going to keep doing it. And he keeps going for that laugh and thinking that it's working. And eventually it's going to stop working. He's going to say the wrong thing to the wrong person on the wrong day, and it's going to blow up. And then you're going to see week one and two, Paul come back.
All right. Let's do one more question. Jared says, if Devon and Frank are going after each other, why not keep them both and target Victor? Alex, can you talk and answer this question?
It makes sense on paper, but that's the thing, right? Is that this game isn't played on paper. This is the kind of game where emotions get involved. And Rob,
I'm sorry. I'm crying. very, very unprofessional. All right. Adam, any final thoughts?
First off, I want to give a shout out to Fat Tyson Apostle on Twitter for saying that they're my biggest fan and they wanted a shout out on the rap show.
Yes.
So there you go. Now, my final thoughts, I love this season. I think it's been a great season so far. I think the drama and the secrets and the whole gameplay has been great so far. I'm looking forward to how it plays out. Hopefully this secret box in the middle of the house doesn't, upset too many fans. But again, when the coup d'etat first happened, it was still new. Fans weren't on Facebook and Twitter as much. I think if it's like really bad, one again, kind of like a duo do-over, I think we will have a lot of angry people out there. But just remember, it's a game. It's a game. It's for our entertainment. You know, no matter who wins, we're not getting any of that money. So just enjoy, enjoy it.
Yeah. All right, Alex, what's something to watch for coming up in these next couple of days? We got the veto ceremony. Any chance that that's going to potentially be something unexpected?
Can't see any way Michelle uses the veto. I think if you're trying to find an out for Team Frigid this week, it is solely in the Paris room, potentially, the mythical Paris room. Yeah. So if you're watch Frank and see if he finds a telephone and, you know, figure something out. Other than that, it's looking dicey. Stacked in FL in the chat wants me to mention that they've been talking about stipends this season. To be honest, though, I don't think it's really anything new. I think since BB13, returning players have been given monetary incentives beyond what new players have. And
is this a talking point that people are upset with what the returning vets are getting in terms of salary?
Nicole isn't thrilled that Frank is using it as a talking point in the house for various things.
I am so mad and honestly embarrassed.
what is Frank saying? They're like, hey, we're getting more money than you guys are, so...
Just kind of the knowledge that, right, there's a bigger payday at jury. There's, you know, bigger stipends at the various intervals that you get paid in the game. And kind of just, you know, in general, I think there are some people this season that are playing to make jury, and it's frustrating a lot of fans because they think maybe if certain stipends weren't in place that it wouldn't be that way. I think this is something that's kind of been in place for a little while, and I think as soon as we knew this was going to be a fans versus favorites format, that we had some idea this is kind of how it was going to play out.
Okay. Adam, would that come up in BB13 where the newbies talked about how much money they were getting compared to the vets?
All the time. And one of my biggest regrets, was, you know, my final vote when I voted for the person I wanted, not the person that deserved it. And down the stretch, Rachel tried to compare what she gave up her second season for what I gave up my first season, where she got to go back into her house. She wasn't paying rent. She came in with her boyfriend and talking about like how difficult it was because she didn't know if she should get a job or not. When I'm like, well, I had to leave my job and I don't know if I'm getting it back. So, the fact that the returning people do get so much extra stuff before they even walk in that house, that's a reason to target them. It comes up all the time. It's money. You know, one of the seven deadly sins is greed, and greed rears its ugly head in that Big Brother house so much. And, because that's, you're there to play for $500,000. You're playing screw your neighbor for $500,000. So money is always going to be a driving factor of the game. So who has it? Who doesn't have it? Who's getting more than who? That makes a difference. But Carrie Burgess has a closing statement. Save Bridget! Save Bridget! Please!
Yeah. And Alex, somehow if this secret room ends up with some sort of like a power of veto for Frank that he could use at any point, he comes off the block and Bridget goes home on Thursday. Is anybody going to complain?
Bridget might.
Yeah. Okay. She might. But
actually,
you know,
she probably won't.
Like, oh, I'm just glad Frank got to stay. I'm just glad it all worked out for Frank.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Actually, I see where you were going now and it makes perfect sense. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. One last thing that I had a plug that I had to do, and I felt like that this is the right time to do it with Heavy Metal Teddy here, because to all you rockers out there, fans of heavy metal music, Adam, you like Eddie Trunk?
Yes, Eddie is a great ambassador of metal. His radio show has been on for years. I've been listening to him for years, watching his TV show. Yeah.
All right, check out the Eddie Trunk podcast on podcastone.com. The former host of The Metal Show on VH1.
Yeah,
he interviewed...
It's,
Brett Michaels?
Whoa. It's not the metal show. It was that metal show.
That metal show. Thank you. Thank you for fact-checking this. I talked to Brett Michaels recently, and you can check that out on podcastone.com or on the Podcast One mobile app. All right, what's the hashtag, Alex?
Wing eating contest. Like? What do you like, Adam?
Wing endorsement?
No, cottage cheese. Hashtag cottage cheese.
Friendship cottage cheese.
Hashtag friendship cottage cheese. And if you guys check your Twitter, I think it was Primal Instinct at Lone Ranger 158 posted a picture of friendship 1% dairy.
Well, are you on the block
cheese.
This week, Adam, with all these shout outs? You're worse than Clay.
No, I just wanted to make sure that this time on Rob Has a Podcast that I was as friendly and nice as possible to your viewers.
Oh, you're pandering.
Listeners.
You're pandering
I
to
totally pandering because
your Twitter advocates. You're pandering to them.
Locking down another endorsement. Already a friend to the pork industry, now working on dairy.
Yeah,
hitting all your
here
food
we go.
Groups.
This is according to Scott has pulled this up. Yeah, this is. A shot of the friendship cottage cheese.
Friendship.
Yes. All right. Who knew?
Hey, every year I'm out in Iowa for the Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival. It's going to be in February 2017. I'll be back there.
All right. So, get your plane tickets now, everybody.
Yeah, you know what? They have over 13,000 people that go there every year. I wrestled with Hacksaw Jim Duggan one year. I officiated a wedding. I officiated a wedding at the Bacon Festival. So, yeah. So that's, and hey, you know what? At the Cottage Cheese Festival, you will have Paul.
Adam, what are you even talking about right now? Where is this going?
This whole friendship thing, it bothers me so much. Every time he says it, every time Paul says the word friendship, I die a little bit. So, you know, hopefully for the people that I did not win over tonight, hopefully Paul says friendship a lot more this season.
Okay. All right. You could follow Adam on Twitter at Heavy Metal Teddy. Alex on Twitter at Alex Kidwell. Don't miss Jordan from Canada tomorrow. He will be live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific with the live feed roundtable with Alex, Aaron and Brent. I'm sure they will have another lively discussion. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes with all of you, the tweets and cottage cheese pictures. We will be back with more Big Brother coverage this week. Should be another fun one. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.